day. There's people in their lives that have all the time that they need, and there's people in their lives that don't have enough time. But we all have the same amount of time in the day. So the question is, what's the difference between the people that have all the time in the world and the people that don't have enough time? And the answer is their thinking. So what we do is we help people to shift their thinking. Now, sometimes people will say, okay, I don't believe you. I've got the time, I've got the money, I don't believe you can do what you're saying. I don't believe that you can really help us produce this result. And say, don't believe me, that confuses me. Because we've got people that have said the same thing. You know, John Andre Bliss said the same thing. He tripled his sales inside of 30 days. So I don't believe you. You know, Christine Winter said the same thing, and she went from making $70,000 a year to $184,000 a year inside of two years. So, I mean, and just like that. Now, some people say, okay, I believe you. I believe you can do what you're saying, but I believe you, but it won't work for me. I said, it won't work for you. I just said, that confuses me. Because you know what? Christine Winter said the same thing, and she was in the black just like that. Now, what have I done there? What I've done there is I've paced them through all the possible objections to anything, and I've chained it. I've done a chain of anchors from confusion. I've done a chain of anchors so that anytime they think of that objection in the future, they'll think of the solution. Right? So I've done a chain of anchors inside the presentation. What I will tend to do is I will future pace the possible objections if I've got a big presentation. If I'm doing a huge presentation, I'll future pace those objections like that. So I'll run them through every possible objection that could come up. And there's only four major objections to everything, although we're going to get into sleight of mouth. There's only four major objections to anything. Not enough time, not enough money, it won't work for me. Or no, I'm sorry, not enough time, not enough money, I don't believe you, and it won't work for me. Those are the four major objections that you'll get to anything. Time, money, don't believe you, won't work for me. So what you want to do is deal with those objections inside your presentation if you can. Okay, and if you're not getting all of this, we'll have it on the thing, on the disc, yeah.
Oh, yeah, what was the disc, the availability of the disc?
Let's talk about that. We'll talk about that in a little while. We'll talk about that in a little while because remember my business consultant friend said that there were four things necessary for business success as we move into the millennium? First one was what?
Business plan.
Have a plan or a direction. Second one was? Process of feedback. Third one was willing to change now. And the fourth thing my business consultant said was, if you're not producing the results that you want, then you need to find someone who can assist you. Now, she may want to look up here because this is important. You need to find someone who can assist you. Someone you can trust. Someone who acts with integrity and who you can trust and you can build a good relationship with. So notice the anchoring that I'm doing. Right? Find someone who can assist you.
You said business plan. What were the four?
That's right. Business plan, system of feedback, willingness to change now, and then find someone who can assist you.
I think that's a little obvious.
It is. I'm doing it obvious right now. I'm painting it out. But if I'm doing a presentation, I will always do all of those things. I will always, if I'm doing a group presentation, I will pace them through the objections. Now, by the way, I just did this right now in a very obvious way where I chain the objections for you right there together. But what I will tend to do is I will deal with people's objections. I will preframe. This is called preframing. I will preframe their objections somewhere in the presentation, whether I do them one after another or whether I do them in different parts of the presentation. You want to preframe the objections that they might come up. Because I look at objections as being just disempowering questions. They're just disempowering patterns of thought. Because, first off, now here's the most important part. If you don't find a need in a sale, then I think you should leave. Stop the sale and go someplace else. I'm not into selling people things that they don't need or want. That's what damages salespeople's reputations. I don't sell people things they don't need or want. If I find a need, then I think it's incumbent upon me and you to do everything that you can to serve that client fully. Because if you don't, you're not serving them fully. Because sales is about service. So then what I'll do is I'll help them through their disempowering questions that they ask themselves along the way that would stop them from making a decision that's going to get their salespeople producing the kind of results that they want. And that's how I look at the whole five-step sales process. Yeah. So that's that. What questions do you have on the five-step sales process? And then we're going to go into sleight of mouth briefly after that. Five-step sales, and yes, you can get this on disk, and we'll talk about that. I'll share with you where you can get that, because I know it's a lot of information at once, but it's like, okay, here's how you Here's how you kind of put it together. Remember, the five-step sales is rapport, establish rapport, ask questions, find a need, and inside there we're going to establish the value of the solution. We're going to then link the need to your product or service and close the sale. And for me, the easiest close is just asking them, so are you ready? How do you best want to proceed? Do you want, you know? If you want to find out more about closes, I mean, you could get Zig Ziglar's book, Secrets of Closing the Sale. He's got like 54 different closes in there. But for me, the close is the least important aspect of the sale. Because if you've done your job correctly up front, if you've established rapport, if you've asked the right questions, there is no closing. That's how I look at it. You've got to close because there's those salespeople that will never ask for the order. So you've got to ask for the order. But it's as simple as asking for the order if you've really done your job correctly. If you've got rapport and you've asked the right questions and you're there from a consultative perspective, really helping that person to get what they want, it's not selling, it's serving.
I mean, if you have the number, especially in this business, you have so many people to cater to, so you can constantly go to the ripe tomatoes, the ripe people who are ready to go.
Yep.
Although if it came down to it to where you only had five people to sell and you had to create interest in those people, you get with this process that I've learned from. Work for me.
Right.
You can still create the interest and still find a way to get them to do a 180. It's worked for me.
Yep.
That's just my thing.
Yep. And for long-term results, you always want to sell people only things that they want or need. I'll walk away from a sale at any point. If I think that the person doesn't want or need the service, I'll walk away from it because it's not worth your time and it's not worth your reputation. You know, it's just not worth your reputation. You're better to have, because the way I look at it is you don't want clients. You want happy and satisfied clients. You want raving fans. And if you sell people things that they don't want or need, you're not going to have a raving fan, which isn't going to make your business work. A raving fan. Yeah, raging fan. Good. So that's the five-step sales process.